All right, we're trying to cover in a one-hour fashion some of the very basic and important doctrines of the Christian faith and enunciate these so we'll have a good, crisp understanding of what they are. And we want to look this hour at the subject of regeneration. Regeneration. Last hour, we looked at the idea of assurance and security. And now the subject of what does regeneration mean? And we will deal, first of all, with the concept. Because if we would say we're going to study what the Bible has to say about regeneration and would take a concordance, as you normally would, and look up the word regeneration, you will make an immediate discovery. It only occurs two times. Pollen, meaning again. Genesia, to be born again. And often translated regeneration. But that word only occurs two times in the Bible. And once in the Gospels, it has nothing to do with a personal salvation. So are we to say that the idea of regeneration is unimportant because the word occurs only twice? And the answer to that is no, that the concept of regeneration occurs under several headings. So I'll put an R at the beginning of each point. Regeneration is referred to as born again. Regeneration is referred to as born again. And if you'll please look at John 3, verse 7, a verse you're familiar with. John 3, verse 7. John 3, verse 7. Now here is a verse that is familiar to us, and yet it has in it a word that probably is not translated very accurately. John chapter 3, verse 7, Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Do not marvel that I said to you," and by the way, the word "you" is plural, "you all." And so it means that Nicodemus, who comes as a ruler of the Jews, Jesus sends back a message to everybody. "Do not marvel, I said unto you," not just you individually, but all of you, "you," and that also is plural, "must be born again." And the word that is translated is born again, which is a single word, anothen, A-N-O-T-H-E-N, anothen. You must be born anothen. And our Bibles say you must be born again. However, let's look at that same word in John 19 and verse 11. 19:11. The word anothen does not mean born again. It means from above. It means from above. And I'm reading the same word to you that was spoken to Nicodemus in John 19 and verse 11. Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you anothen." And our translation correctly says, "from above." So Nicodemus is told, you must be born from above. Now, well, you say, how do you get the idea of again in there? Well, if a person is born above, from above, that means he is experiencing a second birth. He's been born from below, or born physically, and you need to be born anothen, from above, so you need to be born again. So born again is not a bad translation, but it does omit a significant idea in the word, which is you must be born from above. So that the idea of regeneration is expressed not in the word regeneration, but expressed in the word born again. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Ephesians 2, verse 5. In Ephesians verse 5, you have the same concept as regeneration, or the same concept as being born again, a new birth. It says, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. So regeneration is expressed by the word made alive, born again, made alive. And made alive carries the idea of a new or a second birth. And it is spoken of in Ephesians 2 verse 5, five and seven, where we're told we are made alive in Christ Jesus. Another passage that deals with the concept of regeneration is found in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. 5:17 of 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, you have another expression that has to do with being a second life, of being born again or being made alive. And that is chapter 5, verse 17. See if you can pick it out. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. You get the idea of being born again? He is a what? New creature. Regeneration is being made a new creature. Regeneration is born again. Regeneration is made alive. Regeneration is being made a new creature. Fourth, 1 John 3 and verse 2. 1 John 3, 2. And can you pick out the word that refers to regeneration? Receiving life from God. 1 John 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And children of God has to do with regeneration. We are the children of God. Is that the 800 number? Oh, okay. Oh. That's someone from California. They think that everybody lives on, what is it, West Coast, two hours early, and we really don't. If you want to know what the phone call was about and who it was, please see Christy Six. She has all information. Okay, so the concept of regeneration, of a new birth, of being born again, is expressed in the words born again, John 3, made alive, Ephesians 2, a new creature, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, or the children of God, found in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. So the concept is very, very important. All the way through the Word of God is that the way we are born into this world is not adequate to reach heaven. Being born into this world is not sufficient. And by the way, this ought to be a very important, or have a very important implication if you have children. Because as your children are born into this world, they are wonderful cuties, but they are lost. And they need a second birth. And most likely, that second birth will be explained by mom and dad. So don't fail to do that with your children. They are born into this world, dead in sin, as every man is, and need to be born again, made alive. They need to become new creatures, and they need to become the children of God. Now, let's look at some of the aspects. The concept, and now some of the aspects of regeneration. Some of the aspects. In other words, we're saying, let's take this idea of being born again or being regenerated and look at it from different quarters. The first quarter is this. Why do we need regeneration? What is the need for regeneration? And the need for regeneration is very simple. We are dead spiritually. Spiritual death. Spiritual death is the need for regeneration. Let's return, please, to Ephesians 2. We've got two things that express the need for regeneration. And number one is our natural condition. Our natural condition. And second, our family connection. Our condition and our family. Because we are born into a certain family, we need to be born again. And because we have a particular condition, we need to be born again. The condition is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hardly need to do more than read the verse to see what this is. And you were dead. Now, it's obvious that he is not talking about physical death, because the Ephesians were physically alive. They were alive before they became Christians. They were alive afterwards. But you were, and again it points to their past, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. So the condition is called death. You were dead. And the idea involved with death is the idea of separation. You were separated from fellowship with God. We looked at the fall, one of our last studies, and the very first characteristic that Adam and Eve manifested was they hid from God. They did not want fellowship with Him. They did not want to talk with Him. They did not want to walk with Him. They are separated from God. This is the condition that requires and needs new birth. Romans chapter 5. Now, how do we get the condition of being dead? And the answer is, we got it through family connection. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man, and you might want to take at least mentally and link the one man down to verse 14. Verse 14 says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam. And so Adam is the one man of whom he speaks. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. So family connection says we are connected to Adam. And we'll put parenthetically, Adam is the father of every man until he is born again. And the family connection is broken and we are connected with Christ. Why do we need to be born again? What is the need? Spiritual death. What does that involve? A condition called death and a family connection, meaning we are in Adam. Now, if that is the need, who then is the author? If that is the need, who is the author of regeneration? John chapter 1, verse 12. John 1 and verse 12. Remember on Learning Christian Truth, we drew, I believe, last time, a little diagram that was sort of an inverted triangle. And the inverted triangle involves a particular doctrine. Let's say say it involves the gospel. And you all know the gospel. But I would give testimony to every time I restate the gospel, I learn something more about it. So there are two ways of learning. There is learning more, and there is learning better. We never, ever, ever, ever pass the need to learn better. And so if this down here at the very tip of the triangle is the gospel, and you say, I know that, Christ died for our sins. You hear it again, and you know it better. You hear it again, and you know it better yet. And you hear it again, know it better and better and better. And this applies to every truth of the Word of God. We learn it, then we learn it better and better and better and better, and go deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, whenever we teach a doctrine, for example, we're talking about last hour, regeneration. This hour, we're talking about regeneration. Everybody comes in at a different level, don't you? Some may come in this morning and you have never heard this before. You come in at this level. Some of you have heard it before and you enter at this level. And some of you have heard it many, many times and you come in at this level. Every person, upon hearing it again, ought to move up a level. Those that are on this level, you have heard it many times, ought to advance to this level. And now you know it better. And that is part of normal Christian growth and ought to be. Whenever we come to the point, as we illustrated last hour, Carl Denty had taught last Sunday on redemption. And he said, as soon as I mention redemption, all the old folks that have been around for a long time close their Bible, close their notebook, and folded their arms. I've heard this before. Well, that is a serious growth problem that doesn't realize that we learn things more and better. All right, the author of regeneration, John 1:12. What is that song? Galen, you probably know it. Those who seek to know it. Tell the old, old story. The old, old story. Is that it? Tell me the old, old story. And it has a line in it about those who have heard it seek to know it like the beginner. Okay. It's in there. It's in there. If you don't think it is, ask Christy. Okay, so whatever level we're coming into this is a level of opportunity to learn it better. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right. By the way, the word right, exousia, was used during World War II in Greece when they had food stamps. And the food stamps gave you the right to purchase so much. Maybe you remember in the United States, gasoline stamps, bread stamps. Am I betraying my age? How many ever heard of gasoline stamps?
Sugar
stamps. And that was your right to buy a certain product. And it's interesting that that word is the same word that is used in John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to them who believe on his name. And becoming children of God has to do with the new birth. But notice verse 12, the emphasis on where does this birth or life come from? Who were born, not ek, out of as a source, blood. It was not inherited, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but ek, God. God is the author of regeneration. Regeneration or life, then, is, and I use this word because you are familiar with it, it is ek, God. It is out of, as a source. Ek is out of, as source. Where something truly comes from. It is out of God as a source. And he's talking about what makes you a child of God. Well, the child of God is one who has experienced and referenced from God the idea of personal salvation. 1 Peter 1:23 deals with another aspect of regeneration. And what is the means whereby we are born again? 1 Peter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter 1, 23. It's amazing how, and this again illustrates how we need to learn more deeply and better the truths of the Word of God, how often a concept or a need can completely elude you. There is nothing, won't you agree, more important than a clear-cut statement of the gospel. How does a person come into a relationship with God? I was raised in an era when you used to pass out gospel tracts. How many know what a gospel tract is? It's a little a short explanation of a certain truth or what the gospel is. How come we have never put out a tract on what is the gospel? Something you can hand to somebody that will give a simple explanation of what the gospel is. That is something we need to do and make available for you, because we all have contacts whereby you can perhaps pass out a tract. Now, I'm a little bit burned on tracts, because in my generation, we really went crazy with those dudes. How many know what a gospel bomb is? We used to take those little things and wrap them in green and yellow cellophane paper like a cigar. And we'd go down to the bus station, and if a wino was there, you'd slip a tract in his pocket and then run for your life. Or we often did convertibles with them, or open windows, and you'd pull up beside, Rick, if you've done this, pull up beside someone and throw this gospel bomb into their car. So I come from a little bit of a generation that is kind of burned on that sort of thing. But nonetheless, a good explanation of the gospel, hey, take this, read it, is probably worthwhile. In fact, we'll give it a try. But don't wrap them up in cellophane paper and throw them in people's windows. That scares them, and it makes you look weird. Okay, the means. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Do you ever look back in life and you just can't believe some of the things you did? Am I alone with that? When I first came here, we started the church, I was 22. And I can't believe some of the things I said. And I'm not going to tell you. I was worth about half of minimum wage. 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, and there's our word for regeneration, born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding Word of God. So the means whereby we are regenerated is the Word of God. How could that be the means? Well, if God is the author, how does he save people? He saves people through the revelation of himself and of the gospel in the Word of God. And therefore you can say, 1 Peter 1:23, that you are born of God, true, as the source, but at the means defines the saving message. 1 Peter 1:23, the word defines the saving message. What is it that saves men? What has God done? And we find that in the written Word of God, that the message of salvation is defined by the Word. Now, there has to be in salvation something that brings it about. There has to be some operative power. What kind of power does God put to work in bringing us the new birth? 1 Peter 1:3. 1 Peter 1:3. 1 Peter 1:3. Here is the power that is released that makes us the children of God. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So what is the power that brings us and makes us the children of God? The power is the same as that which raised Christ. It is the same as that which raised Christ. And believe me, it takes potency to bring about a resurrection. The same as that which raised Christ. The same power is operated toward us who come to believe. And that means the minute you come to believe in Christ, God releases a tremendous power to boost you into the family of God. And that power, according to 1 Peter 1:3, is the power of the resurrection. Again, a key verse, Ephesians 1:19-20. Ephesians 1:19-20 points out that the same power that was necessary to raise Christ from the dead is also operative toward us. Galen, you've got a song book there. Would you look up that song?
424.
124?
424.
424? It's a good expression, musically, of what we're talking about on learning more and more. 424. Is it I love to tell a story? Is that it? 297? You sing two? 297? Okay. I turn to this because it simply because it says so much. 297. Third verse. Yes, I love to tell a story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And we always ought to keep that in mind, that that is the normal way we ought to view truth, is that we've heard it over and over, but we still hunger to see it and hear it once again. Thank you. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. Christy, how come you didn't find that song for us? Notice the emphasis on the power of God working toward us in terms of our salvation. And what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? The power that brought about the new birth. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. So notice the power that regenerates us is also the power that energizes us as far as the Christian life is concerned. Now, let's look down on the human side of things. What is the instrument of salvation? Galatians 3, verse 26. Galatians 3, verse 26. For you are all the sons of God, sonship or regeneration or the new birth, through faith in Christ Jesus. So what is the instrument or the, I think it's better to put it, what is the hand that takes it? What is the instrument or what is the hand? And the hand that takes it is the hand of faith, that simply believes that what God has done for us, He will do for us in terms of our personal salvation. Now, in all of this, we must add another element, and that is, what is the agent, operative agent, who brings this about? And for that, look at John 3, verse 5. John 3, verse 5. I always like to try to give in teaching not only what the results of it are, but how you might do it. And therefore, I pulled together 1 Peter 1:23 links the new birth to the Word of God. It is in Ephesians linked to the power of God. It is in Galatians linked to faith. And in the passage we're about to look at, it will deal with the agent. And let me give you a little suggestion about how to study Scripture, and not only Scripture, but any other subject. Whenever you study a subject, you may find passages that deal with the source. You may find passages that deal with the means. You may find passages that deal with the result. You know, the old, what is it on writing? Always answer the, what is it? The who, the why, the where, the what. And you cover it well. Well, there's another way to do that, and that's find the source, find the means, find the result, and so forth down the line. And that's simply the way we're taking this doctrine and outlining it and coming to John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So the agent that applies the power of God that is taught through the Word of God and which comes from God as a source, the Holy Spirit is an agent. So you have the Father, you have the Son as the object of the message, you have the Holy Spirit who applies it, you have the Word of God that explains it, and you have the hand of faith that takes it. The agent is the Holy Spirit. Now, there is one thing that we have omitted that is very important. What is the basis on which God can give us eternal life? What is it based on is important. 1 Peter 1, verse 17. 1 Peter 1, verse 17. And notice 1 Peter 1, verse 17 gives us a basis on which eternal life is dispensed. Or we're putting it this way. God can give us new life because here's the basis. Here's what he has done. Here's the reason for it. 1 Peter 1, 17. Through 19. And if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to every man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your fathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb, blameless and spotless, the blood of Christ. And therefore, the basis is the cross work of Jesus Christ, which allows God to impart and give to us eternal life. That, again, is the essence of regeneration or of the new birth. Now, may we point out that we're doing something that we normally do not do. Normally, we simply take a book and teach through it. And I think the next book we're going to do will be 2 Peter. And study right straight through so you know that 1 hour we'll do so many verses and we'll follow through. That is the system of teaching we follow. However, there are occasions, and we are looking at that right now, where it's good to take all of the books and pull out what is the teaching of Scripture. And at the risk of over-repeating, isn't it amazing that we can bring out of the Bible a consistent teaching from a book, or books, we should say, written by 45 men over 1,600 years, and you could pull from all of those writings, not only 1,600 years, but 45 men of totally different occupations. Physicians, lawyers, fishermen, all kinds of, I think about a dozen different professions, politicians. You could pull it all together over books, and I think it's probably too elementary to say, you know that the Bible didn't come to us bound. It came to us, 1 Peter was a letter, Galatians was a letter, and it came to us in many books, and yet you can take that one, those many books, put them together into one book, and find out that the doctrines taught are consistent. Nothing is found in Peter about regeneration that is not found in Paul. Nothing that is found in Paul contradicts Matthew. Nothing that is found in Matthew contradicts John. It all is a harmonious whole. And that's the part of the wonder of Scripture. Now, we have one other pivotal doctrine to do, which we will do next Sunday. And that pivotal doctrine will be the, and I say the pivotal deliberately, because I think it is the pivotal doctrine, and that is the resurrection of Jesus and what that means to us. Father, we're thankful for regeneration. We're thankful that we can look up today and we don't have to say to you, O God. We can say to you, our Father, because we are truly your children and part of your family. And we're thankful that we know this truth from the Word of God. We have experienced this by the power of God. And this life issues from you. It is yours, given to us. And that the Holy Spirit is present to make it real. We pray that we who already know this message may know it better, and those who have never heard it may come to believe in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.